All righty. Well, we got bukus of stuff to cover today because, and you know, as it always happens, the last class has the most information in it. So we'll go ahead and get started. So let's have a word of prayer, and you all can continue filling that out. You don't have to write a big long thing. Just, you know, it's just wanting to know your opinion of this, and was it a blessing to you, and so forth. And I hope it was. I really do. All right, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to learn of you. I pray, God, that you'd help us today to be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So we are talking today, we're in the class Spiritual Foundations and the Foundations of Faith. And we're talking today about two very important things, prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. And, you know, Pastor has been teaching on Wednesday night about prayer, and those classes or those lessons have been very, very good. And so I would encourage you, if you have not heard all of them from this month, I would encourage you to go back and on Facebook or YouTube and find every Wednesday night of this month and just listen to some of those. They are awesome. They are awesome. So, but we will go ahead and get started with a little bit of introduction. Prayer and worship. The Bible gives us instructions and says, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Now that does not mean, Brother Shane, that you are painting and you got your eyes closed, you don't even know what you're doing, and you just, oh, that's not what that means. What that means is the pattern of prayer in your life, do not stop it. That's what that means. So pray without ceasing means that you do not cease from your habit of prayer. And then in John 4 and 24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship might not be exactly what sometimes we immediately assume it is. Worship is not necessarily praise, but praise is worship. Praise is a part of worship. Okay, so these are the textual foundations of what we're going to be talking today. So let's establish some ground rules. What is prayer? Is it the ability to sound like King James English? No. Is it the ability to give great flowery words? No. It is about talking to God. If I never talked to Sister Griever, we would not have a relationship.
That's right.
You, in order to have a relationship, there must be communication. I mean, look, I'm preaching to the choir here. Well, I'm gonna pick on you a little bit. You're young, let me tell you something, and you're unmarried. You're gonna have to learn how to communicate. It's just how it is. You can't have relationship with no communication. See, I'm changing lives right here in this class. You have to learn how to communicate. And it's not, you know, when I first got married, this precious lady, she's probably one of the most patient people that I know in this life.
She has.
And when I first got married, yes.
Call me Sister Joe.
Yes. When I first got married, I wanted her to be James. I wanted her to think like me. I wanted her to act like me. And then I learned how difficult I was to live with. And so I got to a point where I realized I want her to be Christy because I fell in love with Christy.
That's right.
Y'all know where I'm going with this, right?
Right.
Do you know, I'm not talking about sin, but God wants you to be you.
That's right.
And you need to let God be God.
That's right.
And when you learn how to be you and allow God to be God, I'm not talking about sin. Well, that's just me. Oh, hush. That's not what I'm talking about. That's my Irish blood. Stop being an idiot. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking about you that God saved.
That's right.
He wants you. And you need to have desire toward God because He's God. Quit trying to make God like you. And God is, in terms of salvation, is wanting you to be like Him in terms of purity. But He knows you are an individual. That's why His word says, we are the body of Christ, but we are members in particular. Mm-hmm. That means we're all different people. Right. I'm not like Brother Boggs, and Brother Boggs ain't like me. And God doesn't want me to be like Brother Boggs, and He doesn't want Brother Boggs to be like me.
Right.
God loves you.
Right.
And so when I learned to let Christy be Christy, it helped our relationship. And when you learn to let God be God and you be you, it's communication.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto Him. Have you ever known somebody that complains that y'all never talk or you never communicate, but they never call? I had a family member that lived down in Florida say, well, y'all never communicate with us. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the outlawed phone calls coming from Florida to Tennessee. I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I should have called you. So anyway, all right. Then Jesus taught us how to pray. Now, this prayer, it says, after this manner. Now, if you want to pray the Lord's Prayer, it is a beautiful prayer, okay? And if you want to pray it word for word, that's between you and God. It is a beautiful prayer. But He said, after this manner, or this is the template for how to pray. And He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's your praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's your submission. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us. Give us this day our daily bread. That is your asking for provision. And then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is you forgiving and asking for forgiveness. Okay? No fair saying, well, I don't need to repent every time I pray. That ain't what Jesus said.
Come on.
All right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's you asking for His guidance. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. That is your recognition of His deity in your life. This is a pattern of prayer. And He is giving you a template. Okay. Now, what does prayer do for us? Well, is prayer, Brother Eddie, is prayer just you giving your laundry list to God? What if, let's see, bro, I'm going to get somebody in trouble. I'm going to get Brother Shane in trouble. What if you had been working all day, you are so tired, you're just about to fall over. You had ever had days like that?
Oh, yes.
You just got
to
fall over. Man. And you walk into the house and our sweet, precious sister here standing there, and she got her arms folded. She's tapping her foot. And she says, you need to do this and this and this and this, and you need to get this done and get that done. Now, don't you tell me if that's the way it's going. You just hush.
I'm not trying.
But if all your communication was only the list of things, your honey-do list, the list of things, you'd get pretty tired of that.
Yes. Yes. I need those sweet.
God made us in His image. He made us male and female.
And he made us in his image. What does that mean? That means he has emotions just like you have emotions. God can get angry. Did you know God can get angry? Did you know God loves? Did you know God can feel betrayal? Did you know you can hurt God's feelings? He has the same emotions you have. And when all we ever do is give God our laundry list, Brother Eddie, all we're saying is, I need to know what you're going to do for me. And we don't temper it with, what did you say? You like a little sweetness there?
A little sweet top.
God likes to hear your voice. And he says your voice is sweet to him. That's what he says in Song of Solomon. He says, oh, my dove that are in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy face, because your voice is sweet and your face is comely. That's how God sees you. And he loves to hear your voice. And you know what he likes? He likes you to tell him what a great job he's doing every once in a while. Does that mean God's less God if we don't recognize his goodness? No. God's been better to me than I've been to myself. And we need to understand that God is going to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is going to be praised. But the Bible tells us that we offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, thanking him for what he's done. And so when Jesus gives us the pattern, he says, start out with talking about how great God is and end with recognizing the deity of God in your life. Recognize who he is. So what does prayer do? It's not just your laundry list, but it's also not just praise. It's also not just recognition of deity. What it is it's bringing you in line with God's will in your life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I believe I've talked about this in a previous Sunday, but I'll say it again. When you delight yourself in the Lord, it says he will give you the desires of your heart. That's not it. That word give that's in there is actually can be translated put, that he's going to put desires in your heart that are in line with his will. James said, the reason you have not is because you ask not. And the reason it doesn't happen is because you're asking amiss, that you may consume the thing that you've asked for on your own lust. But when you ask for things according to the will of God, that is when God starts, providing things and putting things in your life, because you've aligned yourself with God's will. Had somebody ask me yesterday, we were talking about motivation, and I saw something in John 2 that I had never seen before. And it talks about how everybody believed on, after they saw what he did, they believed on his name. After they saw what he did. And then it says something very interesting. It says, and Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knows men. He knew what was in their heart. God help us that we're not just all about us in our prayer. We need to align with the will of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's why you're praying and aligning yourself with the will of God. I could spend the fire out of $1 million, but God hadn't given me $1 million. Because it's not in his will to give me $1 million. And so what do? I've got a choice. Do I poop my lip out? God, why won't you give me $1 million? Am I serving God because he's God? Am I letting God be God and letting me be me? And do I have a real relationship with God? Or am I saying, gimme, 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 gimme? Right? Okay. Now, what is worship? Worship is, it's not just praise, but praise is worship. Okay? It's an expression of love, reverence, and surrender to God. This expression can take many forms. It can, worship
Your prayer can be a part of your worship. Your giving can be a part of your worship. Your submission can be a part of your worship. Okay? Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, when I'm teaching, I try to give this concept. When the Bible talks about righteousness, generally, it's talking about a horizontal relationship with other people. Okay? And then when it talks about holiness, it's talking about your relationship directly with God. So righteousness, your brothers and your sisters generally. Okay? When you're studying scripture, that's where you start. But if you, I haven't found an exception, but there are some that could be exceptions. So I'm not trying to make, you know, this is not axiomatic. I'm just saying when you're studying scripture. So when you see this word holiness, it is talking about your relationship with God. Okay? And so we give, we in our service to God, we are offering an expression of love, reverence, and surrender to God. And this needs to be, our worship needs to be priority in our life. Okay? No taking vacations from worship. God is still God, whether you're here or in Cozumel on a big boat with 6,000 other people. Okay. All right. So true worship is not just outward. Now, it is outward, but it's not just outward. The Bible says, it talks about they draw nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So outwardly, they look right. Jesus condemned hypocrites and said they are on the street corner showing everybody how holy they are and how, but it was all outward. He said, inside you're full of dead men's bones. You cleanse the outside, but the inside's full of corruption. Okay? So it's not just outward. It comes from the heart. But it's not just from the heart. It also shows outwardly. Okay? So it's both. Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, but their lips do not honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They don't have a concept of who God is. They only have a concept of who somebody told them God is. They don't have, in other words, they don't have a relationship. Okay? All right, so worship should be based on truth. Okay? This is the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him not only spirit in spirit, but in truth. Okay? We know who the truth is, right? Jesus is the truth. So let's go. Developing a personal prayer life. The foundation, this is a personal prayer life, is the foundation of any intimate relationship with God.
That's true.
You cannot have an intimate relationship with God without prayer. God, Jesus is God, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. This is the basis for relationship with God. It is communication with God. So, it is about communion. Now, when I say communion, immediately we go to juice and bread. Okay? That's just what we, because in the apostolic church, you talk about communion, you're talking about juice and bread. Okay? But this goes further than just what we call the act or the, can I say ritual without it having a negative connotation? It is, in a way, it is ritualistic, but we don't do it as just as ritual by rote. We understand there's a deeper meaning to it, but I'm not just talking about the ritual of the wine and the bread. I'm talking about a relationship. And when Jesus invited them to eat that bread and drink that cup, he was inviting them to intimate relationship. Okay? So, we pray in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all as unto the Lord, and you do it all in the name of Jesus. Okay? Acts 4 and 12 declares, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I think we settled this in our first class, my first class with you, our second class in this particular series about the oneness of God. Jesus is God. And so we pray in the name of Jesus. I've got a lengthy reading that I could, but if you'll stay in the 11 o'clock service, you'll probably hear part of it. Okay.
It's really good.
All right. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
That's true.
Okay. Now, sometimes the answer is no. Brother Balls, you ever been told no?
Yes.
It's aggravating, ain't it?
Sometimes
you expect a no, but every once in a while there's that hope in the back of your head. But every once in a while, God's going to tell you no. But remember, you got to let God be God and you be you. And really, the oldest of us is but a child to God. Matter of fact, Paul even says that. Paul says, you need to stop being so silly, Brother Graver. The Bible says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And, you know, you ever heard people say that? Mm-hmm. That ain't what that chapter's talking about. It's talking about us going from this life into life eternal. And it's saying, when I was a child, I stayed as a child, I acted as a child. But then we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, when we get to the other side, we're going to understand things. Just like when you became an adult, you understood things better than you did when you were a kid.
Right.
So when you're a kid, that's us right now. We're the children of God. You know why the Bible calls us sheep? Because sheep are stupid. You ever seen that video of that shepherd? He pulls that sheep out of that ditch and it goes boom, boom, and boom, right back into this. Is that not how we are? Just a bunch of idiots, and God's saying, "Would you all please?" You know, if He wasn't so patient, I don't know where I'd be. So anyway, right now we're just kids, and every once in a while, when God says no, we act like my kids used to act when they were told no, and we get you never let me do anything. Y'all ever been told that? Never let me do anything. When just yesterday you took them to Dollywood, you know, but you never let them do anything. Okay, so anyway, he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right? So, make prayer a daily habit.
That's right.
Start with thanksgiving. How about thanking God every once in a while? Philippians 4:6. I got to where these scriptures were starting to overtake things. But Philippians 4:6, start with thanksgiving. Then make repentance a part of your daily prayer life. I've had people say this. Well, I don't need to repent. Okay. You don't understand your relationship with God. All right. I repent every time I pray. Before I start. And here's what I say. I don't say, God, please forgive me for saying that dirty word. That guy cut me off on the road because I may not have done that. I didn't do that. Okay. But I do say, how can I know the sin working in my heart? Search me, O God.
Yes.
Know me. Try me. See me and lead me. That's what it said. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. Search me. Know me. Try me. See me. And lead me. I can't know the secret. What about sins of omission where you should have done things but you didn't? How many of us have that? I'll raise my hand. I'm raising mine. Where the Lord has said, she's hurting. Go talk to her. And you said,
Oh, yeah.
That's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
You've missed the mark. What about sins of commission, where you did something, not just omission, but commission? What about sins you didn't even know you committed?
That's true.
Oh, boy. I'm going to start repenting every time I pray and ask God to forgive me. Search me, God. Find all those secret places in my life. All right. So make a repentance a part of your daily prayer. And make known your requests. Don't be afraid to ask God for things, but don't make that all you ever do. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace, making our petitions known. But we need to align ourselves with God's will. Pour out your heart to Jesus, trusting him as your provider. He said, don't you worry about all these things. All these things you worry about, don't you worry about those things. God knows you need those things before you even ask. He knows you need those things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay. So making prayer. And then pray in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ dwelling in us. Now, come on, somebody. We are either oneness or we're not. This is the very same God that said, let there be, and there was, lives on the inside of me. Okay? And so the Bible says in Romans, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is telling us that if you're in the flesh, then you're going to mind the things of the flesh. But if you're in the Spirit, that is God living on the inside of you. Okay, so let's take it a step further. Jude says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, what does that mean? Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Ghost inside of us. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in tongues. You can pray with groanings that can't be uttered. We sometimes call this travailing. We call this praying in tongues. But in the moment of that, we are being prayed for by the Spirit. And God uses us to pray for. Look what it says. It helps our infirmities. Because sometimes, even though we've got our laundry list, we don't know what we should be praying for. We're praying for our laundry list, and all of a sudden the Spirit hits us and we begin praying in tongues. That's the Holy Ghost helping us. All right, so pray in the Spirit. Now, how about if all I ever did was talk and never listened to Sister Griever, she'd get pretty aggravated at me. Okay? So every once in a while, my dad used to tell people like this. He used to say it very plainly. He would say, every once in a while, you got to shut up. Every once in a while, you need to stop talking and listen for the Spirit to talk. Okay? Don't do this when you haven't repented. Don't do this when you hadn't been worshiping God. Don't do this when you hadn't been, because you may hear the wrong thing. You need to be in tune with the will of God and then stop. Be still. You know, when God said, be still, and see the salvation of the Lord, when they were all complaining at the Red Sea, you know what he was telling them, right? He's saying, shut up. Would you all shut your mouths? You're about to talk yourself out of a miracle. Would you be quiet and watch what God's going to do? That's what he was saying. Be still. Shh. And just know I am God. All right. John 16 and 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. God wants
relationship with us in our prayer. And he wants us to listen. And so prayer is a vital part of your worship. So let's go into worship. The importance of worship in a believer's life. Adoring and exalting Jesus Christ as the one true God. The role... That's wrong. No. I have mixed all of my slides up. Ah, here we go. I hope that's the last time that happened. Well, that's pretty
embarrassing, isn't it?
All right.
We didn't have a slide.
Here we go. I could have just kept going. Yeah. Obedience to gospel. Okay, this is it. All right. Recognition of Jesus is deep. Jesus is the one true God revealed in the flesh. We've already read that scripture, so I've messed a few things up here. Okay. Worship brings us into God's presence. Okay. Psalm 22 and 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praise of his people. Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Remember, make thanksgiving a part of your prayer. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Matthew 18 and 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So our worship, remember, worship is not just praise. Worship could be us gathering together. Okay, now, worship strengthens our faith. It reminds us of his power and victory. When we begin praising God, or we begin praying, how many of you have ever been really concerned about something, or in my case, really worried about something, and then you start praying about it, and all of a sudden, that problem has gotten much smaller. Has that ever happened?
Yes.
And it's not because the problem's not there anymore, and it's not because God got big, because God is what he is. What happened was you changed your perception of God, and you got your eyes off of your problem, and you got your eyes on Jesus. Okay? So our worship strengthens our faith, whether you're talking about praise, you're talking about prayer. How about this? Have you ever been worried about money?
Come on. Everybody in here is worried about
money. You've done that at one point in your life. Have you ever learned the lesson of letting go? I'm not asking you for you to raise your hands. I'm asking a rhetorical question now. I don't want you to make yourself uncomfortable. But who here has ever given your way out of a financial problem? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not virtue signaling, Brother Eddie, but I have. And it blew my mind that I gave and God solved a financial problem for me. Mm-hmm. That blew my mind. And we're talking about the difference, as this is not the actual total, but I'm just saying the difference between $100 to missions and $5,000 in debt. That's what we're talking about. God, your worship, your giving is part of your worship. And when you worship God, when God is your priority, what does the Bible say? If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about all that stuff. God knows you have need of that. Just seek first the kingdom of God. So I know, you know, it gets real tight when people start talking about the pocketbook, right? Everybody says, look, they're going to take up an offering. I'm going to have to get, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about worshiping God with your giving. But that might not necessarily be money. It could be your time. People say that the worship part of giving is not just treasure, not just your money.
but it is time, talent, and treasure. That is how you worship in giving. You worship giving your time, you worship giving your talent, and you worship giving your treasure. And when you put God first in these categories, that is a part of your worship, and it will change the way you see God. Because you'll watch God open doors you never thought would open, because you're putting God first. Okay, Revelation 1 and 8, this is an odd scripture to put with this concept, but look at what he says. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. Yeah. Isaiah, I believe it was, said that God, who declareth the end from the beginning, he says, I started the whole thing, and I'm going to finish the whole thing. Does that comfort you?
Yes.
If the Bible says that he knows what you have need of, and it says he can declare the end from the beginning, and he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That means he can do anything. So what am I worried about? I look at my little dog. That little dog is just sitting there. And that tail just going back and forth. And when I am there, I am the greatest thing. And if I leave and I go, you know, within seconds, if I leave and I go, oh, I forgot my hat, and I go right back in, she acts like it's the first time she's seen me in 3 weeks. Ah, Poppy's home. And how many times has God just wanted us? I'm not saying he wants us to be like dogs. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying how many times does he want us just to be joyful? Mm-hmm. That little dog, I look at that little dog and say, you little dirty rotten thing. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about when your food's coming. You don't have to worry about, we take care of you. We take care of every need you have. We take you. Last night, Christy was sitting there, and Daisy comes up and gets right here. And we know what that means. She wants to go outside. But then she backs up, and then she'll get close again, and then she'll back up. And Christy will say, do you want to go? Daisy's just
waiting.
She goes outside. Daisy, oh! She starts spinning around. She runs over to the door. That little stinker got everything taken care of. And God says from heaven, he says, yeah, James. And she a stinker. Because God takes care of everything. Matter of fact, 95%. Because there's a few things I worry about that probably needed to be worried about. The 95%, I'd say, 95% of things I worry about, God had it under control the whole time.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. And this God lives inside you. He is your beginning, and he is your ending. He was there when you were born. Believe it or not, Brother Boggs, you used to be a baby. You believe that? You were born, and you were just a baby, and God was there. And on your last day, when you take your last breath, he will be there. The same God that was there when you drew your first breath will be there when you draw your last breath.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then he becomes the God that sticketh closer than a brother, because I love my brother. But there will come a day where I can't follow my brother. My brother will go into the next life, or I will go into the next life. And so I can't be with him. And that's sad for me. But God is the friend that sticks closer than a brother.
That's right.
And so not only will he be there on the last breath, but he'll take your hand and walk into eternity with you, and he'll be with you forever. He says, I am your beginning and your end. Wow. Now that's awesome. And that makes me realize how much God loves me. So it strengthens our faith. Then there's corporate and personal worship. I've got 4 minutes. Corporate and personal worship. Some people say, well, I just worship Jesus at home and I just worship him in my mind. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That's in the Bible. Okay, so stop it. All right. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You need your brothers and sisters. You need your church family. Exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are closer to the coming of the Lord now than we have ever been. And as you see the day approaching, you need your brothers and sisters. So don't isolate yourself. Ephesians 5:19, this is personal worship. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts. Personal and worship with your church family. Corporate and personal. It's both required. Okay, now let's tie it all together. And this is the last thing. Prayer builds your relationship with Jesus, who is the one God, through personal communication and dependence on him. Prayer helps you to realize who God is and who you are. And you're creating a bond of relationship with God. Worship exalts him as the only worthy object of our adoration, aligning our hearts with his glory. And then John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Aren't you glad you got a relationship with God?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lord.